you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Begin reading in verse number 1 and just make some observations this evening from this passage and kind of go along with the thoughts that Pastor brought out about one of the songs of degrees that was sung as they approached the temple in the city of Jerusalem year by year, the thoughts that Pastor brought out last week about thinking about what the Lord has done for us. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee." David here had not been king very long. His troubles of Saul are behind him. He is now king of all Israel. He has defeated a number of his enemies. He's brought back the ark of God into the city of Jerusalem, and in the previous chapter had a great couple of days of rejoicing, and all of the chaos seems to settle down. And he sits down in his house, and he begins to think about the Lord. We read in verse number 1 that the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. When I read that, I think about the fact that there are seasons in life. That there are different times. The book of Ecclesiastes points out different seasons of life. There are seasons of construction, seasons of deconstruction. Seasons of war, seasons of peace, seasons, all manner of seasons we find in the book of Ecclesiastes. And our lives are made up of seasons. There's different times. There's times that we may construct something on our property, and then many years later it may be time to tear that back down. And you look back and you go, wow, how did we come this far? How did this happen this long? How did it already become time to get rid of that? You know, we buy maybe a piece of equipment or something for the house, some furnishing, and it's a joyous day, and then it's not very much long later, and we're trying to figure out how to dispose of it. Do we leave it by the road? Do we haul it to the dump? And so seasons come and go in our lives, and there's many different types of seasons. Sometimes there's seasons of poverty and seasons of blessing, seasons of contention and strife and difficulty, and it's comforting to know that there are seasons, because sometimes you get in a place and you're just like, I can't stay here forever. I cannot do this forever. I cannot live this way all of my life. And oftentimes, all I can say to some people is, this season will be behind you at some point or another. Sometimes there's not much I can say. And my wife and I, we've been through some different seasons. Maybe not some of the same ones that you've been through, but you know, most of our married life we were scraping by and just could not hardly but scrape by and go behind and further behind. Every day was another day behind. And the Lord has blessed us lately, and we're so thankful. And we talk to others that are in that season of their life and they're struggling, and we say, it's just a season. It's just a season. Don't worry that you're going to be here forever. You don't have to do anything radical to get out of a season. A season will just come and go in its time. You can't do anything magnificent to change the seasons. You can't. They will come and they will go. And he had come through a difficult season. We read later in the passage as God recalls his story, as the Lord is talking to David. He says to him, I took you from the sheepcote. I took you from being a shepherd, and I brought you and I made you king. David had had a season of just being a nobody. He was just nobody in particular. And then God took him from that, and it seemed like God took him from that, from a peaceful life of being a nobody, and threw him into all kinds of turmoil with Saul. All kinds of strife and difficulty was the season that he had been in. And he'd not asked for it. You know, he had, as being a shepherd boy, had not said, Lord, make me king, whatever it takes. No, the Lord just took him from following sheep, threw him into a mess, and now the mess was behind him. And he's in a new season of life, and the Lord had given him rest, and there'll be times of rest. There will be times of rest. If you're in times of unrest, understand that there will be times of rest. There will be. Mark it down. There will be a time that you rest. And never will you have that time that you'll come to a time of rest and look back and say, the Lord failed. You never will. You'll never have to tell the story, God failed me. You'll never have to teach the Sunday school lesson, God failed me. You'll never have to teach that story or that lesson to anybody. And so when he had been given rest from all of his enemies, he sat down in his house. Life had been chaotic for years. Chaos for years. Busyness. He's just reacting. And our lives are that way sometimes. Just day after day of reacting of what comes our way. I react to this and react to that and deal with this, and something else comes and we deal with that, and then we turn around and there's something here, and we've been reacting and reacting and reacting. And finally a day came of peace, and he sat down in his house and he began to think about the Lord. It was always David's habit, whether in perilous times or in times of ease, to think about the Lord. It had always been his habit. We read a number of psalms that are penned in the midst of great difficulty. There are psalms that are penned during the times of his flight from Saul. There are psalms that are penned during his flight from his own son. It was David's habit, no matter what season of life, to spend time with the Lord. And so naturally, when peace suddenly came into his life, it was a time that he spent with the Lord. And in this time that he spent with the Lord, he gained perspective. Notice in verse number 2. In verse number 1, we read that he had sat in his house. He was sitting in his house, and in verse number 2, and the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. In this time that he spent thinking about the Lord, reflecting and chewing things over, he gained perspective. God gave him a fresh perspective of his life, and as he sat there, it occurred to him something that had never occurred to him before. I have a gorgeous house, and the ark is in a tent. That's not right. So the first point that we just want to make is that as he spent time with the Lord, first of all, he gained perspective. He gained some perspective. But now let's look at the perspective that he gained. As he sat there and he pondered on things, the perspective that he gained was that life was not fair. And that's the perspective we all gain oftentimes. But it wasn't that he sat there and thought, my life isn't fair, but he sat there and he thought of all that God had done for him. And he looked at the situation and he realized that he had just been the receiver of everything. And that all that God had done was selfless. and toward him. God had blessed him, and he is now king of all of Israel, and he has a house of cedar that he didn't even build. You can read back in chapter number 5 that one of the nations nearby him came and sent carpenters and masons and trees and lumber and built a house in honor of David. And he was blessed, and as he sat there, he began to feel ashamed. He began to be convicted, and he thought about the Lord. And he realized that the blessings and the flow of things was coming from God toward him. And that's the way the flow always is. If we look at our lives and we look over our past and our condition, the flow of blessings is one way. It's just from God to us. And he said, this isn't right. It isn't right that the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And so he told Nathan about it. He probably didn't even know where to go next. I mean, the tabernacle itself was such a specific thing, and it had been commissioned by God, and so he doesn't even know necessarily what he's asking, but he goes to Nathan the prophet, and he says, this isn't right. Why should I dwell in a house of cedar? And the ark of God is in a tent. Verse 4, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? He said, I have never asked for this. This is an interesting thought, an interesting place to pause for a moment. God said to David, David, you have proposed something that I have never asked. That is so contrary to how most of us live our lives. We're always just trying to figure out the bare minimum. You know, we start doing the math for our tithe, and we're adding it up, and we're like, okay, 10%. And I think I read somewhere that I should put a 5% offering on that. And, you know, we're doing the math, and we're thinking about our bills, and we just, what can I do to get by? And then when we look at our week and we look at our schedule and we think, what can I do to get by? And we think about Bible study and we think, what's the minimum I can do this week? You know, we get up in the morning and I got to study and read a chapter and that's good enough. I got to get going. What's the minimum I can do? But David had proposed something that was beyond what God had asked. David had gone and he conquered his enemies and he'd been working the works of the Lord, and he begins to ask, what can I do more? It's an amazing thought. Most of us are minimalist Christians. The minimalist thing that I have to do. People are always saying, I didn't read that in the Bible. I don't have to do that. And David proposed something that was not in the Bible. Something that had not been asked by God, that he desired to do for the Lord. Reading on, verse number 8, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people Israel. And really, in a way, we are all David's, in a way. Every story we read in the Bible, we need to be able to put ourselves in that place. And truly, it is so. God was gracious to us to take us from just minding the things of the world, just running around in our hamster wheel. He was just keeping sheep. The Lord took him from that to be a ruler over his people. Now, our lives may not be as glamorous as the world would think of King David. But the Lord has granted us a great number of blessings. We preside over those that are around us that God has charged us to be a witness to. And we may not have a kingdom as visible as David's, but you have a realm and you have a reign. You have a responsibility that God has called you to rule over. He has given you a wisdom and an insight that all the lost people around you don't have. And He's given you a realm, and He's given you a sphere, and He's given you that to rule over. In the book of Revelation, He says that He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. And if you're a child of God, you've been given great power, and you've been given a sphere of authority, just as David. Verse 9, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. And we can look back over the seasons of our lives, and we could say the same thing. He was with us whithersoever we went. And have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. As since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that He will make thee a house. This time of David sitting in his house, thinking about the Lord, has revealed amazing things to David. And not only that, it has caused the Lord to do things in his life. As a result of what David said, that he wanted to build a house for the Lord says to David here in verse 11, also, the Lord telleth thee that He will make thee a house. Verse 12, and when thy days shall be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. What a blessing the Lord blessed David with here in this moment. What a blessed time David had here in fellowship with the Lord. The Lord begins to reveal to him that his son is going to establish a kingdom and his son is going to reign. And not only that, but his son is going to be a child of God. He revealed to him that he was going to save his son's soul, and that his son was going to reign, and that God was going to lead him and direct him, and if he sinned there in verse 14, that he would chasten him. Notice, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. What a blessing that God blessed him with there. As he had begun to spend some time with the Lord begun to reveal things to him, begun to speak to him about the salvation of his son Solomon and the reign of his son Solomon. Now reading on verse 17, according to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Notice the effect that all of this had on David. Verse 18. Then went the king in. In other words, he went into a room by himself, sat down before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? He had begun back in verse number 2 just thinking about the Lord and what the Lord had done. And it just seemed to multiply. As he began to think about the Lord began to speak back to him, and he begun to speak to the Lord, and the Lord begun to bless him and reveal things to him, and until David finally is just overwhelmed in verse number 18. He says, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" And sometimes we read that and we say, well, the Lord hasn't made me king, or the Lord hasn't done this or hasn't done that. First of all, that's contrary to how David began his study there in verse number 2. Instead of sitting down thinking about all the trouble the Lord had got him into, he sat down and thought about all the blessings that God had done. And how unworthy he was back there in verse 2 that he should have a house. Why should I even have a house, Lord? And the ark is in a tent. This is how he began his study. He began by thinking about all his blessings that the Lord had blessed him with. And finally, in verse number 18, he's just overwhelmed and he just says, "Who am I? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Verse 19, "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight." You know, the Lord can do amazing, amazing blessings in our lives, and at the end of the day, it's really a small thing in his sight to do that. That's tiny. It's very easy for the Lord to bless in a mighty way. He said, "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" He makes a statement there. He says, men aren't like this. Men don't do the things that you do. Men don't treat each other the way that you treat men, Lord. This is different. This is strange. This is not like the dealings of men. You know, and sometimes we get to thinking that the dealings of God are like the dealings of man. That he can get ticked at us, ignore us for a while, send a bunch of curses our way because he's upset with us. He doesn't deal like us at all. Not at all. And the thought of all these things just overwhelmed David as he sat before the Lord. Verse 20, he says, "And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant." He says, "I can't even sit here and tell you how thankful I am. I can't come up with words because you already know." He says, "I'm not sure why I'm even talking because you know." He's just so overwhelmed, and he's so in tune with God at this moment in his life. Verse 21, "For thy word's sake, according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them." He said, you've just done all this because it's just in your heart. It's just the way you are. Not because of what I am, but because of what you are. Everything that you have done in my life is because of what you are. So verse 22, he says, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, concerning this house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the Lord God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. You know, as we read this moment of David being overwhelmed by the presence and the visitation of the Lord, that all began with a moment, just a brief moment of thanksgiving, a brief moment of David recognizing his position with God, his position with God being an unworthy position, back in verse number 2, that he was unworthy to have a house of cedar while the ark of God dwelled in a tent. And I believe this is just one of hundreds of moments, hundreds of rapturous moments in David's life. As we read the Psalms, you know, I don't know what we think sometimes. Maybe we think that he just sat down and wrote the book of Psalms. But as you read the little titles in the first verse, written during this time or written during that time, all throughout his life, David had very intimate times with the Lord. Not just times that he pulled out some scrolls and thumbed through them a little bit, but times that he really sat down and thought about all that the Lord had done in his life. And it led to the writing of many of the things that we read in the book of Psalms. It led to rapturous moments. It led to great intimacy between him and God. Think about the time that it takes to write a poem. And the structure of some of the Psalms are unbelievable. There's a number of them that each sentence begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And they all coincide, and they all have a perfect pentameter that could be sung to music. If we could read them in Hebrew, we would see that, but most of us can't. And it's very interesting. Great amount of time there. Plus, he was an amazing musician. And none of this just comes to you like this. It was time. You say, well, he was king. He really didn't have to do anything. That's not really true. Much of the time, in the beginning, he was fleeing for his life. In the latter parts of his days, you know, it was common for kings to literally lead their people into battle. So he was out there directing and leading and was not just sitting on a throne somewhere twiddling his thumbs. And yet he carved out great amounts of time just to meditate on the Lord. We see evidence of that through the Psalms. He instructs us of it in the Psalms. Just if we just turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed or happy. Well, it's more than happy, it's like the opposite of cursed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. A man that is happy, a man that is blessed, is a man that's just constantly chewing on the things of God. Meditating, which means you're sitting there and you're mulling them over. And you're making application. And you're letting God bring new perceptions into your mind, just like David there. As he sat there, he thought of something that no one had ever thought of. That it was an injustice for him to have a house when the ark was in a tent. God brought that before his eyes and gave him a new perspective on his life and gave him humility, and he began to rejoice and have a wonderful, if we read What we read there in 2 Samuel chapter 7 took place over 2 days. 2 days he was in this place. 2 days he was in this condition. We don't often have an hour for the Lord. But this all started on one day and it finished on another day. This communication between David and the Lord. And it all began with a humble thought. He began to think about the Lord, what the Lord had done. And it ended with him being overwhelmed there in verse number 18, saying, "Who am I? And who are we?" If we look at our lives and we look at all that God has placed in our lives. Children, healthy children, homes, vehicles, finances. He's given us our salvation and many blessings to come, shown us the truth, placed us in one of his churches, given us multitudes of brothers and sisters in Christ. Ones in our own church, ones in other churches that we fellowship with. You know, it's open house and wedding season. And you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, you go to an open house of the world and you go there and you sit there and you're like, what do? You know? When it's an open house of one of God's children, we just sit and you fellowship, and you laugh till you cry, and you hang out there way too long till the people that are running it are like, man, are people ever going to leave? And you go to a wedding of a child of God and you see that a couple are putting their lives together and you rejoice. But out in the world, an open house or even a graduation, you know, I'm so thankful that, you know, at the time I hated my school, but I'm so thankful to graduate from a Christian school. As I sat there in the graduation services, there was so much meaning to everything that was happening. Since then, I've gone to a number of just regular graduation services, and nobody's paying attention, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, what is the meaning of all this? There's no meaning to a lost person. God has placed so much meaning, so much joy, so many blessings in our lives. And yes, though there may be seasons, as David's life had seasons, seasons come to an end. There'll be seasons of rest. In all of these seasons, David carved out time, spent time with the Lord, to think about all the ways that the Lord had blessed him and worked in his life. And we see the result of that as he just really is overcome with the blessings of the Lord in this passage. And I know there's times in our seasons of our life that are more difficult than others to do that. But no matter what season of life we're in, there's always the blessings of the Lord. There's always things. Sometimes it's harder than others to get our mind off of everything else, to sit down and think about those things that the Lord has done. But, you know, we have a bad habit of saying, when things are really going well for us, we have a bad habit of saying, oh, the Lord is good. Well, no, there's never a time that he's not. It's a bad habit that I get into all the time, saying, well, the Lord's been good. There's never a time that he wasn't. There's times in our lives that we may feel it more than others, and because of our circumstances, it overcomes us more than others, but he's always good, and there's always blessings that he's given to us. And so I encourage you, as Pastor's message last week, spend some time thinking about what things the Lord has given to us. Begin our devotions that way. Begin your time with the Lord by just thinking about some of those things. Think about all the time that David must have spent thinking about the Lord to pen all the things that he penned. Psalms 19, as he looked at the creation, he said, "The heavens declare your handiwork." Everywhere he looked, he thought about the Lord. We'll stop there and have a song and be dismissed.